and also with you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the greatest of the first commandments. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies under your feet.' If David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray with me while we're standing. Well, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man sees on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Well, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour your Holy Spirit down upon our hearts and look into them with your all-seeing eye, that we may worship you in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please have a seat. This morning's Gospel reading is another in a long line of confrontations that the Lord Jesus has with all the religious authorities. Apparently, Jesus has just confronted and silenced the Sadducees. That was the other group that was in the temple. It was more of the temple, more of the temple officials. They, the Pharisees decided they were going to try their luck at trapping and tricking Jesus into some form of treason or wrong doctrine, which they've been trying to do for quite a while. A lawyer, which is usually referred to as the scribe, attempts to challenge Jesus by asking him a very simple question that every Jewish child is taught at a very young age. And the question is, what is the greatest commandment? Well, that would be like asking one of our kids, what does the color red represent on the streetlight at a busy intersection of a highway? Stop, of course. Of course, the answer is stop, as I said. Jesus answers, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is a reference to the command in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. This is repeated twice daily by all faithful Jews, even to this day. That's to express their devotion to God and to obey all of their commandments. It's usually done at the door, right at the door sill. And that's called the Shema. S-H-A-M-A. What the Hebrew word for that is, I don't know. The Shema in English. Jesus also answers that you should also love your neighbor as yourself. This phrase is in the Old Testament reading from Leviticus. Chapter 19, verse 18b, that'll be the second half of the verse. When God is speaking to Moses, these are the two greatest commandments that include all the law and what the
prophets have said in the past. As the Pharisees are trying to regroup after the Lord's proper answer, Jesus posed a question to the group that are standing there. Jesus asked the group, who is the son of the Messiah? Whose son is the Messiah? Well, by the popular first century Jewish understanding, the answer that is the Messiah is David's son. Now, what it is in the tradition of the Jewish is that a younger person was always identified as a son of an older person. So they figured Jesus, human, walking around, and David, 1,000 some odd years ago, would be his elder. That's what they thought. So, otherwise, the Messiah would naturally be considered younger, and King David would be his elder, making David Messiah, the son of David. Well, Jesus decides to turn the tables by quoting Psalm 110, verse 5, which would be well known as a divinely inspired messianic prophecy by this group of men. And it says, the Lord said to my Lord, that's David speaking, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls the Messiah Lord, and Jesus is still speaking, how can he be his son? Now, Jesus' reason for this dialogue with the Pharisees is not so much to make them foolish, which he kind of does, but to increase the scope and the understanding of the true meaning of the Messiah. The Pharisees, in their arrogance, have a very narrow view of the meaning of the Messiah. And our Lord's intention is to correct that view and to alert them that they don't know as much about the Messiah as they think they know. So, what are we supposed to make of all this verbal jousting between our Lord Jesus and this group of Pharisees? Well, I've been to numerous, what you say, Bible symposiums. I went to one about 3 weeks ago, and this guy was a theological teacher in Marquette University. Now, he was speaking way over my head. I mean, he was academic. Sometimes we try to make our scriptural analysis much more difficult than it really needs to be. And I think this is the situation here. So let's look at an underlying meaning for all of this, because I believe it's not all that hard. So take a look at it. Remember the Shema. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first part of the answer that Jesus gave to the scribe. God wants us to love him with all the faculties that we have as human beings. Not to be supernatural, it's just use your heart, your mind, your soul. Bishop Dan Herzog always said, let the main thing be the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Now, we sometimes allow a secular society around us to infect us. I'm using that word very loosely, but that's what happens. Infection is a proper word for it. It's like a bacterial virus. Let me repeat that again. When we allow the secular society around us to infect us, we replace the main thing with another agenda, and we're in trouble, in my opinion. I had a friend of mine who was a priest, and she was about to enter the Diocese of Albany back in the year 2005. During her interview with Bishop Dan, she told me that he said this to her, and I'm going to quote it. If you have any other agenda than your love for Jesus and your servant ministry as a priest, then we do not want you to come in here to this diocese. He was very straightforward and blunt. Well, I think that the bishop sent something in this priest that she was not willing to admit to him. I'm not sure. But he said that to everybody coming into the diocese, no matter who it was. God wants us to love each other as he loves us. That's the miracle. We should all treat a all people the same, whether they're rich or poor. Social status, wealth, lack of wealth, should not be a factor when we seek to spread the good news of the gospel to those whom we meet. Favoritism, nepotism in the government, should not be a practice engaged when we're regarding the rich and the poor. I got the crazy problem that I have to guard against is the fact that I tend to favor the poor over the rich. It's each other way around. I have to be careful of that. It's just the same the other way around either. Today's epistle, St. Paul tells the Thessalonians, we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is a witness. We do not seek glory from the Paul came to spread the good news of the gospel for the glory of God and not for themselves. That's one of the things we have to be as clergy. It is not our show, it is God's show, not us. God gave us the boldness through the Holy Spirit to affectionately spread the gospel. Use that right word, affectionately. When someone gets right in my face and becomes obnoxious, trying to shove the gospel down their throat, all it tends to do is to blank me off. Sorry, but I blanked it out. Good thing. I'll give you an example. Fortunately, this happened to me. I had this unfortunate encounter with this type of people about 7 years ago at Christmas, while I was ringing the bell for the Salvation Army down at St. Lawrence Mall in Messina. Finally, I had to ask these people to leave because they were making a public spectacle of themselves and because they were certainly not affectionately witnessing or spreading the gospel message to me or to any other people who were in earshot of this conversation. And they were just rude and obnoxious. They were horrible. Yelling and screaming at me, and I said, where did these people come from? Another thing, God does not wish us to keep up with the Joneses. That's not something we do. I don't. Come to my house, you'd see it. Definitely don't do that. It is not about getting financially ahead in the world, or financially or socially. Bishop Dan always said, come into this diocese as a clergy and you'll have a moderate income. Nothing about a big income. Number one, it's all about loving each other who we are. A then young Afro-American Christian friend of ours from Tupper Lake told us that it was Kathy and I at the time and our kids, looked at people as if we were looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. I just about cried when she said that. What does she mean? Well, we did not see a young black woman, she was the only one in the community too, and her family. We saw a child of God with a large heart who lived in a very humble cottage on Wolf Lake in Tupper Lake with her father and her sister. And believe me, it was very humble. When the prophet Samuel was told by God to go to the house of Jesse, God said, he will tell Samuel who he is to anoint as the new king of Israel. That's 1 Samuel. And this is the quote. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God, in supernatural ability, looks inward. I'm going to tell you a little story. I didn't write in here, but I want to tell you if I get through it. Al Leo and I went to the cathedral, and both of us were looking at trying to be in the, we were interested in holy orders. And Al paid my way that day to have my hotel room. He was a good friend of mine. Anyhow, when we got there, we all gathered. The first thing that Bishop Dan said was, I don't want people who want to dress up in fancy clothes on Sunday. I want people who can spread the gospel by their story. And I turned to Al and I said, well, Al, you know, we might have a chance. I'll never forget that. I want to tell you a little story about my daughter, Lisa. One Sunday morning, back when our daughters were about 4 or 5, we went to St. John's Church in Madrid to attend our niece's first Holy Communion. During the service, our eldest daughter, Lisa, kept looking behind, going like this all the time. My wife told her that it's impolite to stare at people. And Lisa said to her, "Mommy, there's this really nice man back there." My wife told her that at the peace, we'll go back and shake his hand for a sign of the peace. Well, that seemed to satisfy her for a little time being, though she would still kind of, like this, glance back and forth from time to time. When it came for the time for the peace, Lisa just about dragged my wife Kathy back to the back of the church where this man was. She reached the man, and with a big smile on her face, she shook his hand. Kathy also smiled and shook his hand. As Kathy looked at this man, she could see that he was very, his clothes were clean, but they were threadbare. His pants and his shoes were also worn and looked very old. His hair was blown, but he had a beautiful eyes and a wonderful smile. I guess the thought that we were thinking is at the age of 5, the only thing that my little daughter Lisa said was that she noticed what was hidden inside his heart. Only children sometimes are able to see that. We've been so hardened by the world sometimes, we can't do that. She saw that there was love in this man's eyes, even as a stranger. And back then, it was a little bit more easy to talk to strangers, I guess. She probably saw something that we never imagined, probably much more than any of us adults would have seen. But Kathy was amazed at the innocence of our little girl being able to see more in this man than we could see. If Lisa had not wanted to go back and greet this man, would Kathy have ever gone on her own? Who knows? But what a wonderful opportunity to see the true heart of a man be missed had my daughter not gone back there and did that. So I guess the thing was, how many other people looked at the man in this way? Had anyone else greeted him, a sign of peace? Or had they instead looked at him as a hobo or a pauper or a bum? Kathy only knew that because of her little girl, she looked at this man differently, as if she was looking through the eyes of Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, every Sunday, we have the privilege of starting over again as the Shema commands. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor. That is to love the Lord your God, again, I'll repeat it, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Also to love your neighbor as yourself. That's very difficult. In the last 5 months, I had a neighbor who was one of the major drug dealers. And that was extremely difficult. How do we love your neighbor and still, what's the word, be able to help the BCI investigators? That was not easy. Of course, that new grade they had called gravy train took out the place. It was not fun. Anyhow, I'm off on a rabbit trail, sorry. So, as you come into the presence of the Lord God this morning, and you walk to the communion rail to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, you have another opportunity to physically and emotionally be healed by God's Holy Spirit and found in grace. Healing power of the sacraments has been wonderful. I've seen it with people immediately. So, this may be interesting. I'll give you this as something to try. When you get back to your pew, try turning to the person sitting beside you and saying that you love them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last weekend, I was at the convent. I'm an associate at our convent, and we have 6 nuns that are fully habited. And the Sunday morning service was by Father Chip Streckler. He's also our diocesan lawyer.
And one of the things I saw he did is he greeted each of those nuns with a holy kiss. I've never seen that happen before. And they accepted that very easily. I thought that was wonderful. Never seen that before. Amen.